Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Fremantle Press podcast called Love to Read Local Radio. Love to Read Local is a celebration taking place from May to June. It's a statewide initiative to showcase Western Australia's many, many wonderful writers and illustrators and the books they create. By now you'll have noticed that I'm not your usual host, Rebecca. My name is David Bush-Wilson and I'm a local writer. I'm the author of three, soon to be four novels in the Frank Swan series, the most recent being Old Scores, and the next being Shore Leave, which is out with Fremantle Press in November 2020. I also write nonfiction. I've written a book called Perth and another focusing specifically on the Cathedral Square redevelopment. I take a great deal of interest in Perth and Fremantle's social history, and I really like writing about what I call a sense of place. My guest today, however, is Paul Koutsakis, a Greek-Australian writer based in Perth. By day, Paul's a computer engineering academic at Murdoch University, but he's also one of Greece's best-known and award-winning young writers. In 2007, he won the National Award for Playwriting in Greece, and in 2015, he won the Best Young Adult Novel. He's published many novels, including two in the Stratos Gaza series, out with Bitter Lemon Press in the UK. The sequel to Paul's first translated crime novel, Athenian Blue, is Baby Blue, which was released worldwide in October 2018. So, Paul, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about yourself. I guess the person behind the writer. Paint us a picture, perhaps, if you would, of your hometown or your childhood. And how did books and the writing of books come to be such an important part of your life?
Well, Dave, hello. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. And many thanks to Fremantle Press as well. It's really a pleasure talking with you every time we get together. Talk about myself. I will try to keep this modest. I am incredibly handsome, and I have turned down many offers to do some modeling, mainly because I want to concentrate in my dancing career. I'm kidding, of course. As you know, I have, and you have already mentioned, I am now an academic at Murdoch University. I did my PhD in electrical and computer engineering in Greece. Then I went to Canada as a faculty member at McMaster University, then back to Greece, then now here in Perth for 4.5 years. But I have actually been a writer for more than that. I had my first novel published in Greece in 1998, and I was 24 years old then. And basically, when I held it in my hands, I knew that this was going to be something that I would be doing for the rest of my life. I write both novels and plays, as you have already mentioned. Most of my novels are crime novels, but I also write some historical fiction and a couple of comedic novels with crime elements. And I was born in Chania, in the island of Crete. Crete is the largest island in Greece. It's just above Africa. The climate is actually quite similar to that of Perth. That's something that I really enjoy here. And I think I have talked enough for just one question.
By the way, Paul wasn't joking there when he said he's very handsome and is a good dancer. Having seen him in person and, if not quite dancing, then at least running towards the exit of a bookshop. Or perhaps you could, you've told us you've moved to Perth 4 years ago.
Yes.
Do you feel like a local yet? And I guess, what does Perth mean to you as a place, as a source
of... Perth is a truly wonderful place to raise a family. From the first moment that I landed here back in 2015 for my interview at Murdoch, and I went around and saw the place, I thought this would be an excellent place to raise a family, and I was right. We like it so much here that we have made the whole family the decision to stay here for good. My kids love their school. The climate, as I mentioned, is quite similar, although not exactly the same, but very similar to Crete. And the people in Perth have been truly welcoming from the get-go, from the very beginning. So being here for 4.5 years, I wouldn't say that I feel like a local yet, but I could definitely say that I feel like someone who wants to become a local.
Perfect. Well, yeah, I mean, I think officially you would definitely be designated as a local since Perth is such a migrant city. But yeah. be that as it may, perhaps we could move on to talking about your two crime novels, specifically because I guess they're available in English translation, Athenian Blue and Baby Blue. Could you talk us a little bit about, talk us through?
Yeah, there are about 10 other novels that are in the pipeline for being translated, but we will have to wait for that a little bit. So for the two novels in the Stratos Gazis series that have been translated, have been published in English, and thankfully they have done very well, the hero or anti-hero, if you prefer, in both the novels is Stratos Gazis. Stratos is basically an ethical hitman, as contradictory as that may sound. He is living in Athens, so the capital of Greece, and he will kill any target, he will take any contract, because he's so good at he does, he will definitely succeed. But he has one rule, and the rule is that he has to do his research on the target first to make sure that the target deserves to die. So he doesn't care, Stratos doesn't care about the character of the person who hires him. After all, he doesn't expect his employers to be angels. No one who is a really decent moral person would hire him to kill somebody. But what he doesn't want to do is to kill innocent people. So the deal he makes with his potential employers is that he will take a down payment, which is non-refundable, and if his research shows him that the target deserves to die, then he will proceed with the contract. Otherwise, he will keep the down payment and disappear. And although that sounds quite peculiar to those who want to hire him, as Stratos himself says in one of the novels, when you are the best, you can afford to be a maverick. So in the first novel, Athenian Blues, Stratos finds himself caught between a guy who is the most beloved lawyer in Greece because he is taking so many cases, protecting the, trying to defend the poor. And that's one person who wants to hire him, and the other person who wants to hire him is his actress and model wife, who is extremely beautiful, is considered to be the most desirable woman in Greece. So she wants to hire him to kill her husband because she claims that he's abusing her. He also wants to hire him, but he wants to hire him because he's in love with her, that's what he claims at least, and he wants to protect her because he believes that someone is after her. So Stratos needs to find out who among them is telling the truth and who is lying. And in the second novel, called Baby Blue, Stratos undertakes a case because he owes a favor to a well-connected underworld figure. And that figure, called Angelino, he has helped, he has taken a teenage girl under his wing because the girl is an exceptionally gifted magician. She does incredible card tricks, and Angelino wants her to compete in the Magic Olympics and make money for him. But the girl used to be homeless. She lived with her dad in the streets of Athens, and this gives us a chance to see the situation in Athens during the financial crisis. But her father was murdered 3 years ago, so she wants the murderer of her father found and killed. And when Stratos starts researching the case, he finds that the father, who has been murdered, used to be an investigative journalist, and that the girl herself now may be in terrible danger, which makes things much more complicated.
Fantastic. And you know, what a big fan I am of the novels. Could you, one of the things I loved about them, both of them, is the sense of Athens as a place. There's a real sense of place in the stories. But also, I also love the secondary characters in the novel. Could you perhaps describe what each of Terry, Dragas and Maria bring to the narrative?
I will, but after I do that, I would very much like to talk about your novels that I am a very big fan of. So, yes, starting with the sense of place that you mentioned, I wanted to talk about contemporary Greece and contemporary Athens a lot. So I think that it is important for people, not just in Greece, but also abroad, since the novels have been published, to understand that basically the financial crisis in Greece came because of a moral crisis that pre-existed. And that's this moral crisis that led to the social and physical decay in Athens is very much clear in the novels. Now, as you mentioned, Stratos has three very close friends, and they've been friends since their high school days. Their names are Kostas Dragas, who is a cup, and he's his best friend, but he is also his competitor for the love of Maria, the other their other best friend since high school. They've both been in love with her forever. And the last one, the fourth one, is Terry. Terry is the one that helps bring a very comic and very serious at the same time aspect to the story. It's comic because he's very witty and likes to tease everyone. Serious because she grew up with these three people, and they knew from back then about her different nature. Terry is a high-class transsexual hooker, and so we get to see the world through her eyes as well and understand the issues that she is facing. But mainly it's always, of course, about Stratos, his love story with Maria, and the fact that these people are together since their high school days, and they are the only people who would tolerate each other at this age. This is something that I have been thinking about a lot, that, you know, when we meet people in our 30s and in our 40s, it's difficult to become best friends with them because we have a much smaller level of tolerance. We get much more easily irritated with people, whereas people that we have been friends with since our very young age, we can meet them after many years and it will be like no day has passed, because it is these people that we have been loving and being friends with since our very young days. So Stratos, this is his team, and these are the people who are helping him, and this at the same time is his vulnerability, because if you are a loner, then you only need to care about yourself. You know, it's that fantastic... have you seen the movie Heat by Michael Mann? I assume that you have, right?
Perhaps not. Heat?
Heat. Robert De
Niro. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah,
Robert De Niro, Al Pacino?
Yeah, definitely.
So there is this famous quote from that movie where Robert De Niro, who plays the thief, I don't know if you remember, he says... Yeah. Don't let yourself get attached to anything you are not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around the corner. That's where the movie actually gets the title from.
Yeah.
The title Heat. So Stratos cannot do that, actually, because he has his three friends, so he needs to look out for them as well as they are looking out for him. But, as I said, I want to ask you several things about your fantastic novels. First of all, the most interesting thing that you said at the beginning is that there's a fourth Frank Swann novel coming. When is it coming out?
It's due out in November this year. So yeah, it's the fourth one in the Frank Swann series. So
when does it take place, this one?
This one takes place in the late 80s. So he's a little bit battered and bruised from his previous encounters. And it's set mostly in Fremantle, so it's a lot closer to home, and it revolves around a U.S. aircraft carrier, aircraft carrier, which is in port here in Fremantle. And I guess the plot develops out of that. There are a couple of American characters and what have you. But I was just thinking when you were talking, that's something our characters have in common, this idea that they can't run away from the problems they face, because Frank Swann, of course, is... As well, perhaps unusual in terms of crime fiction characters. He's not a, like Stratos, he's not an alienated kind of heavy drinking loner. He's a family man, and so yeah, he has to stick out these conflict situations. He can't just run away as much as he's tempted to sometimes.
Yeah. So basically, this novel, as I understand, takes place at around the same time as True West, your most recent novel.
A little bit later, but not too much later. That's right, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever thought about bringing together any characters from different novels, like someone from True West and someone in the Frank Swann novels?
Yeah, funnily enough, I can't help myself. So in True West, I don't know if you remember, my character Lee Sutton goes to a boxing gym, and that boxing gym is being run partially by Frank Swan, although he's not, he's only mentioned there as Frank.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, he's only mentioned. Yeah, I'm thinking about you know, a more active role.
Oh, yeah. In the next Frank Swan novel, Shore Leave, Lee Sutton is a secondary character as well. So yeah, I want to kind of bring
That's
them
great.
Together. They seem like sympathetic characters who would get on well with one another.
Yeah, that's great. I do the same with another series that I'm writing in Greece, where some of my characters from different series actually, you know, they play a part as well. So another question: your Frank Swan novels take place obviously in WA. Your latest novel is titled True West, and your historical novel, The Coves, takes place in the Wild West of the USA. So could you tell us a little bit what it is about the West that fascinates you so much, other, of course, than being from WA?
Well, I think it's got a lot to do with having grown up on the West Coast and watching the sun go down over the ocean and what have you, and probably in some weird kind of way with the fact that I'm left-handed, and so being on the left coast is somehow more agreeable to write about. But really, the San Franciscan novel was a little bit of a happy accident. I just came across the story, and no one else, it seemed to me, had written about it, so I wanted to investigate it. And of course, there are parallels between the rapid gold rush settlement of California, including lots of Australian migrants, but also of Western Australia later in that very same century. So I wanted to write about all of those kinds of things. But one of the other similarities I was seeing between your work and mine, perhaps, this is something I strive towards, and I'm not sure if I ever quite hit, but something else I like about your novels is the sense of humour, the kind of the gentle teasing that goes on between Stratus and Drugas.
Yes. Is
that kind of, it's certainly familiar to me as an Australian, is that kind of wit and repartee representative of Greek sense of humour, of a Greek sense of humour? Is that a Pole sense of humour?
Well, it is a mix. So it is mostly, I would say, my sense of humor, but not mine only. So there is a number of Greeks who like that. There are a number of Greeks also who like a less gentle sense of humor also, obviously. But I think that's common between Greeks and Australians. I have found Australians here who are in favor of a more gentle, and others who are in favor of a less gentle sense of humor. I think that Australians are much better in delivering deadpan humor, whereas Greeks need to be more expressive in basically everything that they do, not just the humor. So there are some subtle differences there, but I wouldn't say that there are big ones in regard to the humor between Australians and Greeks. I think that's why probably Greeks and Australians for many, many decades are having excellent relationships here ever since the Greeks started coming to Australia.
Yeah, I think I would agree wholeheartedly with that. Now, just perhaps a final question on that same note then, given that there are some similarities with the humour and you've been here 4.5 years now, would you ever consider writing a story set in Western Australia? Have you had any ideas, or are you still
okay? So
imaginatively linked to Greece?
This is very similar to a question that I had in mind of asking you, but I will ask you right afterwards. So I don't yet feel that I know the place that well. So it's definitely within my thoughts, and I have written a short story which is based on a true story that I have heard from an old Greek guy who came in the 50s here, and I have written a short story which hopefully will be part of a book of short stories that I'm currently writing. But so it's a short story taking place in Perth in the 60s. But for a novel, I don't feel as a local yet, as I mentioned in the beginning, but I feel that I want to become one. So within the next few years, hopefully I may feel more at ease in setting a novel here. But since I had, as I said, the similar question for you, I know that you have lived for years outside WA. You grew up partly in Singapore, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you have also lived in Europe, in Africa, in Asia. You're really a citizen of the world. So are you tempted to set any of your novels in any other place that you have lived outside WA? Of course, there was this one off in San Francisco, but are you tempted to set your novels in any other place?
Not particularly. I think, you know, if I come across an idea that just screams out for representation, then I'll always consider it. But I think because we moved so much when I was a child, I really appreciate the idea of having a home and being settled in one place and kind of slowly sifting through the layers of stories told about a place. So that's kind of what I've been doing the last 10 years at least. And I probably will continue to do that as well. But yeah, never say never, I guess. But I don't. There's nothing in the future necessarily set overseas. Although there's a story I've been working on slowly, but that might be some way off. So, Paul, another question I've been dying to ask you, because you're a full-time academic with a young family. You're clearly a very busy person. I was wondering if you could tell me how the hell you find the time to write, firstly, and also what you're working on at the moment, and how do you go about doing it?
So, I've been doing that by not getting too much sleep for several years now, but I never complain. And the reason is that having the luxury of having two jobs that I really, really enjoy, whereas many people go through life just searching for one that that they might enjoy and possibly never finding it, is something that I don't think I can complain about. I think it would be a hubris to complain about having two very demanding but at the same time very rewarding in terms of the intellectual reward that they bring and jobs. So not sleeping very much is not something I complain about. Now, what do I do when I write? I try to isolate myself for about 3 to 4 hours per day minimum. And the way to do that is to either stay up really, really late or wake up really, really early. That's the only way of doing it. And certainly that's the only way of doing it now in the age of COVID, because the whole family is here, is in the house. What am I working on at the moment? I'm working on the third Stratos Gazis novel. It is relatively well plotted, I think, and I have started writing it. And of course, it will take several months before it is ready.
I'm very glad to hear that there's another Stratos Gazis novel coming, Paul. Could you tell us a little bit how you go about constructing the novel? Do you fly by the seat of your pants, or do you quite methodically plot your story out before you start? And then do you tend to write it quite quickly, or do you work, given the time constraints, quite slowly?
No, I don't do it slowly. I work every day and for a specific number of hours, and if I can, I devote even more, because when I've got the idea, I want to get it out of me as soon as possible, which of course will take months, but I don't want it to take years. How do I go about constructing it? It usually starts with an idea, something that... So for the very first Stratos Gazis novel, it was all about the character. The character came to me and I thought this would be a very interesting character to use because it would show how gray several people in Greece are. So Stratos operates in that very gray moral area. But now it is that I've got a character. It is about finding things that I want to talk about and finding interesting plots around them. So I do follow the news a lot about Greece. I speak with my extensive group of friends back in Greece. I learn about stories that sometimes people don't really get to hear. And I think that these such stories may make a good subplot for the novel. And then when I've got it all together, I start writing.
So, Paul, the two novels we've been talking about today have been translated into English. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that act of translation, specifically because I believe you translated yourself the first novel, Athenian Blue. I wonder if you could talk about that, particularly with the translation of things like humour, as well as description, and how you found the translation of the second novel, reading it for the first time. I ask because, you know, my crime novels have been translated into German, but my German is not sufficient to the task of reading through the text. So I really have no idea about the translation.
I can understand. Yeah. So the first novel I had to translate it myself because obviously I had to show it to my agent, and then the agent needed to show it to the publisher. And it was a hell of a lot of work. And I considered this to be possibly much more tiresome than writing the novel from scratch in Greek, because you need to really think about every little word and how this would translate, and also think about little nuances like the humor that you mentioned, which might be different and not easy to transfer across from one language to another. So it was difficult, yes. It was one of the most difficult things that I have done, translating my own novel from Athenian Blues from Greek to English. I didn't have the energy to do it again for the second one, but thankfully the publisher found a translator, and the translator did it. After I read the translation, I thought the translator had done a very good work. Of course, there were things that I wanted to change, and they were changed. I made several changes to the translation, but it was much easier. If it's already there and it's a good piece of work, then, you know, doing some edits on the translation, as many as those might be, is not really a big issue. Whereas if you start from scratch to do the translation yourself, it is torture. Regarding other languages, I'm not fluent either in other languages. I have some knowledge of other languages, but so if my novels do get translated, as I hope, in other languages as well, I will be probably in the same position as you. I would just hope that things do come across correctly. So, Dave, one question that I have for you is, now that you have the experience of working with a German publisher, and obviously you have the experience of working with a local Australian publisher, what's the difference between the two?
Well, they've both been terrific experiences. I mean, there's a lot to be said for being able to go and meet your local publisher or editor for a coffee and speak face-to-face. But in saying that, the experience of working with German publisher Serkan Verlag has been terrific, I think, because I quickly realised how much I respected the commissioning publisher. I read a lot of his work, which is available in English on a particular German crime website. His breadth of knowledge, but also his his interest in world crime rather than just a kind of an inward looking perspective on German crime. And in fact, that's been something that I've been really pleased with about the whole thing. The novels have been reviewed in all the big German newspapers, and it's just quite interesting that I think in a way that possibly you wouldn't get in many other parts of the world. So there's obviously an interest among German readers in what's going on out there in the wider world of crime fiction writing. which is, it's been very encouraging. So, Paul, the crime novels we've been talking about today, Fenian Blues and Baby Blue, have been published with Bitter Lemon Press in the UK. But I know that you're still publishing very prolifically in Greece itself. Can you talk a little bit about how the experience of writing remotely, I suppose you'd call it, over here has been, while at the same time your novels are coming out in Greece, being reviewed in Greece?
Well, my publisher in Greece is Patakis, who is one of the two major publishers in Greece. And the experience working with them for the past 10 years has been excellent. I have had many novels of mine published by Patakis during this decade. And there are also a couple of my novels that have been reissued, republished, but they had been published by other publishers in the past, and now they have been published again by Patakis. So the collaboration there is excellent. And as you mentioned, yes, I am still very actively publishing with them. I'm publishing at least one book per year. This year, my new novel was, which was a standalone titled Show Business, and it is my only novel that has been co-written with another writer, was due to be published in June. Probably it will be published a little bit later in the year due to the whole COVID-19 implications. Currently, bookstores are closed in Greece. So, the experience with them has been fantastic. And obviously, being a major publisher in Greece, they are able to promote the books heavily. And the books have won major awards. So, I'm very happy with them. But I'm also very happy with Bitter Lemon Press. They are an English publishing house that is also selling books in the USA and Australia. And they have been able to get the books into the hands of major publications. For example, as you know, there was an incredible review of Baby Blue in Publishers Weekly and in many other venues. So they are doing a very good job. I'm happy with both of my publishers, and I hope I will continue to work with both of them.
And do you time, either coincidentally or deliberately, the release of your in normal circumstances, your novels in Greece with, you know, your yearly trip back to the old country to catch up with family and friends?
Yes, I always do that because it gives me the opportunity to actually be there when the book is launched and take part in a lot of promotion for the book, TV, radio, and in-person presentations. So that this helps a lot with the publicity of the books. So my books always come out in what is summer in Greece and winter in Australia, so in June or July when I'm there, because I go there every year. Again, this year, because of the situation, it's quite possible that I will go later in the year to Greece, and that's when the new book will come out.
So thanks for all that discussion there, Paul. I thought we might talk a little bit now about local West Australian writing culture, hopefully a nice segue there. And whether or not you had any recommendations, because we know that this COVID-19 outbreak we're all going through has been tough on the arts community and our West Australian authors, with many events, book launches, etc., cancelled. It's also hard on booksellers too, of course, although I know certainly some of our local Fremantle booksellers have taken up the challenge in doing free delivery and what have you, encouraging us to read local as well as to support our local authors, many of whom, like you say, we have lost events and had book launches cancelled. So with all that in mind, I was hoping, Paul, that you might recommend a few titles for us to read while we're in lockdown. This autumn, and it might even be winter too. And especially so, to hear about recently West Australian books.
Yes. So first of all, I'm sure that others have probably recommended them, but I have been reading the series by Devla McTiernan, and these books are really, really, really good. She deserves the great success that she has received, and I was very happy to hear that Devla the other day was got in the shortlist for the International Thriller Award. And but I would also like to add one book that I look very much forward to reading, which is the book titled Mysteries of Cinema, Reflections on Film Theory, History and Culture by Adrian Martin. It's published by UWAP. And some others, would you like to suggest some others or do you want me to?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, Adrian Martin writes terrifically about film. Yeah, and I totally agree with Dervla. And, yeah, I guess we're lucky. We've got a good little group of crime writers operating in Perth. Sarah Foster's another one. And, of course, Alan Carter and Dave Warner.
Yes, yes.
I've recently, another West Australian writer, Ruth McIver, who's now Melbourne-based, her debut novel is coming out in June. That's going to be, that's called I Shot the Devil. That's coming out with Hachette.
Okay.
And
I will look forward to reading it.
Yeah, I think you'll really like it. And I'm also reading at the moment a re-release of Stephen Kinane's fantastic novel, Shadow Lines. Memoir and Description of Perth in the Early 20th Century. It's a fantastic book. It was very useful for me in the writing of my book, Perth, as were the, the collected works of George Seddon, who's a writer I particularly...
Which, by the way, your book on Perth is truly great, and I really loved reading it.
Oh, thanks, great. I had great source material. And, George Seddon stuff. His book, Sense of Place, One River Landscapes, the city and its setting. And Jenny Gregory is another local historian whose book, City of Light, about the city, the history of Perth is fantastic. Perth City is a fantastic read. And Tom Stanage's comprehensive history of Perth called The People of Perth. Those are all books which I highly recommend for anyone perhaps new to the city and looking to get a greater sense of its depth of history and its sense of place. And one novel I've recently really enjoyed was Madeline Dickey's Red Can Origami, which was, fantastic as well, which was out with Fremantle Press. So perhaps we might move towards a conclusion. And, Paul, it's been great catching up with you and with all the listeners out there. We hope you've enjoyed our conversation and found some inspiring local reads to get you through the next few months of isolation. Paul, thanks so much for your time today. And thank you so much for
having me on the show, Dave.
You're most welcome. And thanks again to the listeners for being a part of Love to Read Local Radio. Love to Read Local Radio is brought to you by Fremantle Press with support from the Copyright Agency's Cultural Fund. Love to Read Local is a celebration of West Australia's numerous outstanding writers and illustrators and their work. It's brought to you by Writing WA, and you can check the show notes for more details about Writing WA, as well as for information on getting hold of any of the books we've mentioned today. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure too to subscribe to the Fremantle Press podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, or anywhere you get your favourite podcast from.